This is Steve Dale's Pet World.
Steve Dale's Pet World.
Got an issue with Fido or Fluffy? Steve Dale is here to help.
What's up? That felt pretty good, right?
Steve Dale's Pet World.
Oh, okay.
Whether your feline is missing the litter box or your canine doesn't like the mailman, call the show toll-free.
She said toll-free.
At 866-554-PETS.
They've done studies, you know.
That's 866-554-7387.
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
Hello. You know, there are so many animals like this that live on a day-to-day basis with a bit more fear, anxiety, and stress than we ever would have thought. So I talk about this a lot, and I talk about Fear Free, which is an initiative in veterinary medicine and outside for all of us, fearfreehappyhomes.com. Go there. Lots of stories about our pets, including telling you how it's possible that your pet may be more anxious than you think. Or maybe you know my dog has separation anxiety. My dog, terrified of thunderstorms. By the way, both topics we'll talk about in coming weeks, separation anxiety and thunderstorm anxiety. Or my dog is anxious when this happens or when that happens. Well, now there's a fascinating solution to all of that. And you sprinkle it on your pet's food. It's called Calming Care. And what this is, it's a probiotic that goes right to your head, literally, or at least our pets. It's fascinating that the science that has gone behind this. And we're going to see the same sort of thing in human medicine. So this is, you know, sometimes human medicine follows veterinary medicine, and sometimes it's the other way around. So for anxiety for people, there's popping a pill, right? There's all kinds of things that we can do. And at some point fairly soon, there will be a probiotic that specifically targets those brain cells that have to do with anxiety, because our gut and our brain are interrelated? Yes! I promise you, this will be interesting. Also, here's something good. Have you noticed? It's warmer outside. The mosquitoes think that is good, too. So heartworm disease is something that, you know, we need to talk about. And in theory, year-round, your dog would be on a heartworm preventive. But that is theory. It doesn't happen that way all the time. So many people, right, wrong, or otherwise, the reality is that you stop giving the preventive in, what, like November? And then you begin it up around now. Sad part is a lot of you forget to start it up about right now. And then you have a dog with heartworm disease. And, you know, so many think it's not going to happen to me, but it happens to someone. Heartworm disease, totally preventable. And in many cases, it is fatal, yet the incidence of it are going up. How can that be? Well, we'll talk about that with Dr. Todd McCracken. And also a hoot and a holler to ya. We'll talk about the St. Patrick's Day doggies. All of that right here, where most of all, we are here to help you at 866-554-PETS. Toll free. I'm a certified animal behavior consultant. My job is to stand here and just talk to you. Answer your questions. We'll take an email question later in the show. steve@stevedale.tv if you prefer that route, or call 866-554-7387. Hello, Mary in Minnesota.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I have a problem with one of my dogs. I have a shelter dog that's going to be 12 and another dog that's going to be 4.
Mm-hmm.
Both are around 60 pounds. The younger dog has on occasion will eat her own poop and the other dog's poop. We have gone to the vet and have used the products, but it seems it always returns.
So eating her own isn't enough. She needs more.
Evidently.
Okay. Well, the fancy term for this, as your veterinarian probably said, is coprophagia. And your veterinarian may have sold you a product called Deter or another one called Forbid, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the success rate is kind of like, you know, not so much. And what you do with these products, or Lowry's seasoning salt, is you sprinkle it on the food, right? Your dog's food. And then the theory is that coming out the other end, it will be distasteful. Is that kind of what the vet said?
Right.
And the veterinarian probably said, it's like, I'll sell this to you. It's not expensive. It's, you know, give it a try. But odds are, historically, well, it might work. Probably it may not. Is that also what he said?
Right.
Okay. So, and it didn't.
You know, it's the problem that, well, she's on the medication. It's
what medication?
But then it'll be recurring.
What medication? Oh, okay. The product. Okay. So
the product. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I don't believe there's a problem with continuing the product or transitioning to Lowry's seasoning salt and asking your veterinarian how much should I put in the food. And if it helps, you could do this for a long time, not just a week or two, but you need months until the dog gets out of the routine of trying the other dog's you-know-what or his own you-know-what.
Okay.
So you may not have used it long enough. So it may work for you and your dog, actually. You guys might even be an exception to the rule where it works. You just didn't use it long enough.
All right.
So that's one thing. But you know what? The reality is that the best solution to this, you're not going to want to hear. It's a plastic bag.
Oh, I do that constantly, yes.
Well, if you're out there picking up right after the dog, there's no way that the dog can turn around and even think about the idea.
Well, in Minnesota, when it's 30 below, I don't want to go outside.
Well, move to Florida.
I can't. Thank you, Steve.
I'm in Chicago. I totally relate. let me know what happens, but you know, that's the reality. One more thing you could ask your veterinarian about is adding a probiotic or an enzyme product. And I'm trying to think of the name of the enzyme product, because the thinking by a few, not most, but a few, is that the dogs don't have the proper stuff in their guts. And there's a product called Prozyme, P-R-O-Z-Y-M-E, that might also help. So you can ask your veterinarian about that as well. But again, same thing. Well, it does work. It seems to work for some dogs. The majority, maybe not so much. And then we're back to the plastic bag I spoke about.
Okay.
All right. Give it all a try. Let me know what happens.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Our telephone number is 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387. So there's a movement. They call themselves, I guess, anti-vaxxers. And they are indeed anti any vaccine, so it seems. Now, I've talked about this regarding our pets on the radio many, many times, and it turns out that I was ahead of the curve because Time Magazine has done a story on this. Their focus, actually, in the story wasn't only about all of us, human beings, but about pets as well as this movement. You see my air quotes? You know, movement, quote unquote, has now reached the pet world. Now, there are repercussions to all of this. And are we even over-vaccinating our pets? Is that even happening? Let alone, should you not vaccinate at all? I'll address all of that when we come back.
Your calls are always welcome on Steve Dale's Pet World. Dial us up at 866-554-PETS.
It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death. Don't worry, a new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait, vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
Steve Dale's Pet World, a real pet expert giving advice about real pets. Yeah, we're keeping it real.
So there's a magazine for dog lovers. It's called Dogster. It's a great magazine. You would think a story with the headline I'm about to give you would have appeared in a magazine like that. Some anti-vaxxers aren't getting their pets vaccinated. Here's why that's so dangerous. Oh, yeah, it wasn't in Dogster. It was in Time Magazine. And it really now is something that has been going on for a while with humans. People saying, parents saying, I don't need to vaccinate my children at all. Well, now that's kind of crossed over into the pet world, and there are problems with that. Not only are there problems that concern me regarding our pets, which I'll explain in a moment, but for all of us. So the only reason, I'll start with the very basic thing, and this is, you know, there are people who actually believe this. This is not, in my view, it's, what's a word that's greater than extreme? It's extraordinary. I mean, it's more than an extreme viewpoint not to vaccinate, for example, a dog for rabies. Now, you're doing something that's against the law in most states if you don't. But above and beyond that, here's what will happen. If enough people do not vaccinate their pets for anything, and I will continue with rabies to use that as an example. It's called herd medicine. And here's what happens. If X number of animals are not vaccinated for anything, then we are going to see that disease again. The problem with rabies, it doesn't only affect our dogs, it could potentially then affect all of us, right? As rabies is transmittable to people. And dogs who have rabies often become unpredictable and aggressive. Not fearful aggressive. So most of you, when you call this radio show, you say, my dog's aggressive to other dogs or to people. That dog is typically, not always, but typically fearful. This is different. This is a dog infected with rabies, a so-called rabid dog. And it's that impression that you might have in your mind. It's true. Can you imagine dogs all over America that are rabid and what that would impact? First of all, the government would say stop having dogs if that happened, which is not a good thing for any of us because there are health benefits we now know to having dogs in our homes. And we want dogs in our homes. There are in America 60 million dogs. I mean, it's silly, but that's exactly what would happen because so many people, there's no treatment for rabies. One of a million people, I am making up that number, but it's about that, survive, but most die of rabies and it's transmittable then potentially to other people. So that's not a good thing, but let me take, and that's an understatement. Let's take distemper. People who say, I'm not going to vaccinate my dog for distemper. I don't see any distemper where I live. The only reason why they are not seeing distemper where they live is because enough people vaccinate enough dogs to kind of push the disease back. But if people stop vaccinating for dog flu, we would see more dog flu. And hooray, when that vaccine for the newest strain of dog flu came out, and I'm a champion of talking about this, maybe the champion in America about talking about dog flu vaccine. It's because I know how many dogs got sick and how many dogs died of the dog flu. So when the vaccine came out, I wanted to have a party. This is a good thing. I do not comprehend even, and I challenge any of you to call me. Let's have a conversation on the radio if you disagree with me. And one more thing. According to the Times story, and it's not only the Times story, I've gotten these phone calls on this show and have gotten emails as well that I'm worried my dog is going to become autistic because of vaccines. Now, listen, according to all science I've read, that doesn't really, there is no correlation there with human beings, but maybe you argue that that is your opinion, that's fine. In the pet world, there is no correlation. I don't even know. I don't believe autism even occurs among dogs or cats. No one believes that I know that it even is a thing. It can happen. So if it can't happen, then vaccines are not going to cause something to happen that can't happen in the first place, if that makes any sense. Check out Time Magazine. It's an interesting story, and I do agree with reporter Jeffrey Kluger and his take on it. Coming up next, a new product. It's a probiotic that can help your dog feel a little less anxious.
He's not a vet, but he does smell like a dog. You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
This is one of the most fascinating interviews that I'm about to do. So Dr. Regan McGowan is a research scientist at Purina. And so many of us have used expressions like, oh, my gut tells me, fill in the blank, right? Well, it turns out that your gut and your brain really do, maybe it's email, I don't know how they talk to one another, but they do talk to one another.
They do, indeed. There really is something to that old adage, I have a gut feeling. Because all of your feelings manifest in your gut, and vice versa. What's going on in your gut influences your feelings.
Okay, so let's take that, an understanding that that is, in fact, scientifically true, and also another fact. Anecdotally, I will say that most of the phone calls that we get for this radio show, concerns about their dogs have to do with anxious dogs. But there's also lots of data out there. You're not alone, friends, that there are many dogs that have one level or another of an anxiety issue. So you combine that with what we know about the gut and the brain relationship, and tell me what you did.
Okay, well, there's lots of really cool studies out there where scientists have actually transferred gut microbes from anxious, let's say, mice into non-anxious mice. And guess what? The anxious behavior transfers with them. So we took that to heart, and we wanted to tap into this gut-brain axis. And
so I want to explain this a little bit. So
you took
what was in the gut of anxious mice, and you put it in the gut,
There's a number of labs out there that have actually taken transplants. They'll take a sample of the gut microbiota from an anxious mouse and transplant it into a germ-free mouse that's non-anxious, and that germ-free mouse will actually become anxious. So it's quite fascinating studies.
All right. And so those studies you have nothing to do with.
No, I did not do them.
Right. So we took that information, or you did, and said, wow, I wonder if we can do something else.
Right. So this really is just great evidence for that gut-brain connection. And we know that there really is constant communication between the gut and the brain directly through the vagal nerve that runs straight up from the enteric nervous system in your gut. So there's a lot of nerves there that's controlling your whole gut system, all the way up to your brainstem. So there's a direct line of communication. So if we can tap into that, then there's a potential to influence behavior. So we looked into this for dogs, and we actually supplemented anxious dogs with a probiotic, BL999, for 6 weeks. And then we did a crossover design where we had half the dogs on a placebo and half on the supplement, and then did a three-week washout and crossed them all over, because every dog has their own level of anxiety and their own physiological indicators of anxiety, so we wanted to compare them to themselves. And what we found is that after 6 weeks of supplementation, 90% of the dogs had improvement in behavior, so they were doing a lot less of this anxious behavior, less barking, jumping, spinning, pacing. More interesting, from my perspective, we also found physiological differences, which show that the dogs were in a more positive emotional state, even in response to anxiety-inducing stimuli like novel rooms or strangers or weird noises. So we saw decreases in things like cortisol, which is one of the gold standards for assessing stress in dogs. We saw reductions in heart rate, suggesting that the dogs were more relaxed, and increases in things like heart rate variability, which is tied to positive emotional states. So from both a behavior and physiological perspective, the dogs were in a much more behaviorally flexible and responsive state when they were being supplemented with the probiotic.
And this probiotic is now available. It's called Calming Care.
Calming Care.
This seems to be like a game changer to me, because one thing we could do for dogs with more, I don't want to say extreme, but I'll say it for these purposes, extreme stress, is pharmaceutical intervention, which really is a good thing, because we are able to help these dogs. A lot of people don't want to do that, though.
Yeah.
A behavior modification can work wonderfully, but that takes some work.
It takes a lot of work.
Yeah, and it seems to me that sprinkling something, which is good anyway for the dogs, in all likelihood, on their food is an easy thing to do, and maybe even we could potentially, Dr. McGowan, save lives, because what causes more animals to die than anything else is when that human-animal bond fractures. That is a result of behavior issues. Wouldn't it be nice if we could prevent that? And that's for the more serious ones, but for annoying, if you will, like car rides. Some dogs are just, wouldn't it be nice if they don't have to be afraid of that car ride, as one example.
Yeah. Yeah, and anecdotally, we're hearing from a lot of pet owners that have been trying Calming Care that their dog is doing much better in the car or doing much better meeting strangers. They're just more aware and more able to interact in their environment without being afraid or being anxious about new things.
Yeah, I love this. It's called Calming Care. It's available through veterinarians.
Mm-hmm. Yep, from ProPlan Veterinary Diets. This is a ProPlan Veterinary supplement.
Perfect. Dr. Reagan McGowan of Purina, thank you, and thank you for doing this work, because this will save lives.
It's
thank
my
you.
Pleasure.
Your phone calls next, 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387.
Welcome back to the only radio show that carries a little plastic bag so it can pick up after itself. Here's Steve Dale.
Our telephone number is 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387. In Illinois, Judy, you are on the radio. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
What's happening?
Well, I'm calling on behalf of a friend who adopted a cat from Humane Society in California.
Mm-hmm.
And she really bonded with this kitty. But kitty had some bad habits.
Okay.
Female cat, 8 months to a year. She started scratching the furniture, so and she has some really nice things. So they covered lots of things in plastic, including the legs of some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started urinating on furniture, they discovered.
Okay.
And the straw that broke the camel's back was she urinated on her husband's precious leather chair.
Oh, okay.
And
now, Judy?
She returned her to the SPCA.
Okay.
It broke her heart.
Judy, this friend of yours, her name isn't Judy, is it?
No, it's not me.
Okay,
it isn't.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I have two cats, two boys, and they're just fine.
So
and
yes, go ahead. You're getting
what
there.
What caused this? I mean, like, was she, like, I said maybe she doesn't like men.
No. The scratching is just because cats scratch. And
right.
You know, this kitten, it was a little kitten, could have easily been taught how to scratch in the right places if she had provided those right, quote-unquote, places for the cat to scratch. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. If she provided a scratching post in the first place, or more than one, and encouraged the kitten to use that, and if for some reason the kitten still began to periodically scratch at other things, she could have deterred this kitten just by covering those other things to make it impossible for the kitten to scratch. I mean, that would have been an easier one. Now, as far as the urination on items, I don't really know. I mean, it has nothing to do with him. Are there other cats or kittens in this house?
Oh, there was.
Okay, so
her kitty passed away.
Oh, all right. But
at the age of 19.
Okay, but at the time this kitten was brought in, was there another cat in the house?
No.
All right. I don't know for sure what was going on. It could have been any number of things. Could have been the litter box not being cleaned often enough. It could have been the location of the litter box. It could have been that the kitten, just because the litter box was so far away, needed another litter box to get to as well. Kittens only have so much control, just like little kids only have so much control. It could have been anxiety related. I just don't know, because I don't know any of the specifics.
Mm-hmm,
unless
right.
this guy did something to her, there would be no reason for the kitten not to like the guy in the house. And if the kitten didn't, it would be more fear than I'm going to keep away from him. It's not going to. Mm-hmm. Kittens don't think, I know that's his favorite chair and I'm going to pee on it.
They
don't. That doesn't happen. So I don't know what did happen. I can't say, you know, but it's a shame. And now this kitten
is
already entrenched in the habit, for whoever
right.
the new owner is, on scratching wherever the kitten happens to scratch. It could be dealt with for sure.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, it could have been a medical issue. With little kittens, they get urinary tract infections. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't that. You know, she had been checked out at the vet.
Well, no. I mean, she had been checked out at the vet at what point, and then she had the kitten home for a few weeks or whatever the period of time was. It doesn't take long to develop a urinary, unless she'd been doing this from day one. If the kitten had been doing this from day one, I wish your friend would have called me or someone, anyone, for help. Asked her veterinarian, would have been the right person, and say, well, and I'm glad you call for a lot of reasons. So. This poor little kitten is paying the price for an owner. I'm not blaming the owner for the kitten's behavior, but I am blaming your friend for not getting help, because help is available. And with some help, the scratching part would have been for someone who's professional relating to cat behavior or a veterinarian. That should be a no-brainer. For the inappropriate elimination, that involves further questioning, but it could have been solved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. This kitty had been returned more than once, I believe.
Well, it could be anxiety-based, too. I mean, if you're a little baby and someone takes you and then says, I don't want you anymore, and then someone else takes you and says, I don't want you anymore, and, you know, that's a tough way to live, and that's unfortunate. Adopt this kitty if you can.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, she's in California and I'm in Illinois.
Move.
Huh?
Move.
I would dearly love to. trust me.
You'd rather be in California, is that what you're saying? Well, listen, I'm sorry I don't have a specific... I don't blame you for that part of it. I don't have a specific answer. I feel badly because I'm sure your friend felt she was doing the right thing and felt horrible and bonded with this kitten. But I'm telling you, if she had reached out for help, in the right place, she would have gotten that help, and this kitten wouldn't have needed to be returned.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It really is.
But, behavior problems are the number one reason why animals die in this country. It is not cancer. It's not heart disease. It's bad behavior, or what we perceive as bad behavior, when in fact, this kitten or any dog or cat behaving badly, or pet bird, pet hamster for that matter, they're just trying to cope, you know, the only ways they know how. There's no malice involved. They're not being bad on purpose, of course. They're just trying to deal with whatever situation they're given, with whatever emotions and circumstances they find themselves in. And it's unfortunate that she didn't get help, because, as I say, it's out there. And all right, well, I thank you very much for the call, because maybe we all learned a little something, and it's a reminder that help is available. So the good news is she adopted this kitten, but in the end didn't do the kitten any good. You say you have two cats?
Yes, I do. Two boys.
I think we could send your boys a cat toy. So hold on so we can get your address. All right?
Yeah.
Okay, don't move. Hold on. It's not news. This is not a news headline. Cats groom themselves. But what about a cat that's over-grooming? A cat that's going to an extreme? That is our email question of the week. We will answer that question and answer any of your emails. Every week we choose one. Email me, steve@stevedale.tv.
We're always standing by to take your call at 866-554-PETS or email steve@petworldradio.net.
Right now, in your own backyard, there's a restless, hungry crowd waiting to be fed. It's not your in-laws who visit every summer like a recurring nightmare. I'm talking about parasites, ravenous fleas, starving mosquitoes, ticks with empty bellies, all looking for their next meal.
Is that Labradoodle I smell?
Don't let these famished little fiends make a meal of your dog.
Well, I'm going to engorge myself.
Get the unmatched protection of Vectra 3D. Vectra 3D quickly repels and kills hungry parasites, fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, and other biting pests. Vectra 3D has more kinds of protection than any other flea and tick brand, and it's only available from your veterinarian. Get up to $25 in savings with purchase. Please don't feed the parasites.
Say hello to Rover, a.k.a. dinner.
Let's eat!
Please go first.
My mouth parts are watering.
AB negative, my favorite.
Visit your veterinarian for Vectra 3D or VectraPet.com to learn more.
It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death. Don't worry, a new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait, vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
The only radio show for the whole family that often advises using toys with feathers.
I miss my little kitty cat.
Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
Next week on the show, we're talking about domestic violence, a topic I talk about often, but why? Why on a pet show? Well, we know that most homes in America, most homes really do have a pet, at least one pet. We do know that those that are victims of domestic violence are therefore likely to have a pet. And we also know they won't leave that violent situation unless they also have somewhere to go with that pet, somewhere that will accept that pet. And an animal shelter isn't necessarily the solution because you're giving up your pet and you want to keep the family together. So some animal shelters, not many, but some have programs. Well, heroically, it's a good thing. They'll say, we'll foster your dog for a time, but that's for a time. The family is still giving up that pet when they want to keep that family together. So ideally, we need places to shelter that allow all family members, including those with four legs. It's changing in America. Purina is leading the way, and we'll talk to them next week about that.
Three simple words. You got mail.
Woohoo!
You can always email your questions to steve@petworldradio.net.
Dear Steve, my 15-year-old cat has been grooming himself forever, pulling out his own hair and eating it. His fur has gotten so thin, the veterinarian calls this barbering. What is the cat doing? From Danny in Virginia. Well, Danny, that's true. And what I've done in the past is talk with a veterinary behaviorist by the name of Gary Landsberg, who did a study with a veterinary dermatologist. His name, I don't recall. Neither of their names are important. Here's what's important. It turns out when cats do this, according to their research, it turns out that these cats are not doing that for behavior reasons, but rather dermatological reasons most of the time, not all the time. So do see your veterinarian first to rule out a medical possibility, of which there are many, having to do with dermatology. So it could be that, anything from a flea allergy. I mean, it's a wide range of possibilities to another type of allergy. All right, you rule that out. Now what? It could be pain. Cats will groom themselves when they're in pain. Often they will groom at the site of that pain. So if the cat is grooming its belly, maybe that cat has a tummy ache. I mean, seriously, and has a GI problem of some sort. Or if the cat is grooming its elbows, could be osteoarthritis. So rule that out. Once you have ruled those things out, now we can talk about behavior as a possibility. Now, it says that the cat's been grooming himself forever, pulling out his own hair, eating it, and the fur has gotten really thin. Now, that makes me think about several different things. First of all, absolutely, if it is a behavior problem, to enrich the cat's environment, make things more interesting for the cat. Now, what does that have to do with what I just said? Well, we know that if it is a so-called compulsive behavior, that these cats that act that way, we can help them just by enriching their environment. We can help them by interrupting the behavior if you can, taking an interactive cat toy, like a fishing pole toy type toy with feathers or fabric, and just dangling that in front of the cat. If you can get your cat to say, whoa, not that anymore. Instead, I'm going to chase this because this is more fun or interesting. That's huge. And if you can preempt when the cat does it, when the cat grooms himself, and sometimes it's easier to do than you might think because cats are such creatures of habit that they may typically groom themselves or over-groom himself in this case at certain times of the day. So you know it may happen around 10 o'clock at night, for example. So around 9:55, I'm pulling out that interactive toy, playing with the cats for 10 minutes or so, and the cat may not do it. But we also want to enrich the environment as a whole. More climbing spaces, more resources. By resources, I mean everything from toys to scratching posts to anything else the cat may enjoy. So bring home an empty box, a paper sack. Those are things that are inexpensive, right? And the cats generally love them. Move the box around the house. Take some catnip out one day. Sprinkle it somewhere. Those are all. Now, cats that do this may have some low-level anxiety. So let's say no dermatological issue. You know that because you've checked with your veterinarian about that. No pain issue. Those are the first two. You need to rule those out. But let's say you have. Well, the cat may be somewhat anxious, so plug in that feel-away diffuser, and that'll help lower the anxiety as well. Feel-away is a copy of a pheromone that helps cats feel more comfortable in their own environment. That's a start. Anyway, I hope I helped a bit. You can email your questions to steve@stevedale.tv. As it gets warmer out, we ought to be more concerned. We need to be more concerned about heartworm disease, preventing heartworm disease, and that is next.
We've trained him so well, he'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay tuned for more of Steve Dale's Pet World.
Officially sanctioned by the American Veterinary Medical Association.
This is Vets on Pets.
That's where Steve talks to the vets about your pets.
Don't worry, this won't hurt a bit.
Dr. Todd McCracken is the Veterinary Services Manager at SIVA Animal Health, who I will talk right now, right this moment, about heartworm disease. I'll begin here. What is heartworm?
Well, heartworm is a disease that's spread by mosquitoes. Your dog is susceptible, obviously, when that mosquito bites them and transfers the organism into your pet, and then it continues to migrate to the heart and grow and, again, causes cardiovascular problems in your pet.
Is heartworm preventable?
Absolutely. Again, some of the latest research shows that if you will keep them on their heartworm preventative, which they'll take orally, and then also combine that with a product that actually repels and kills those mosquitoes before they have a chance to bite your pet, it is absolutely preventable and in the studies, 100% preventable.
So it's 100% preventable, but yet according to the American Heartworm Society, there's more heartworm than ever before. So there's a disconnect here. Reasons why heartworm, in fact, the disease, is going up when it's preventable. And what we didn't say is it can be fatal. So that's not a good thing that it's going up. So one of those reasons are that people think heartworm's not going to happen near where they live because they don't know anyone whose dog has heartworm, or previous dogs in their life have never had heartworm.
Sure. I mean, I live in the northern part of our continent, and again, people in the north think that when it gets colder, their susceptibility to heartworm goes down because it's spread by mosquitoes. But if you look at the weather patterns that have gone on and the hurricanes down in Texas and Florida and those ravaged regions, a lot of those displaced pets are coming northward and really acting as a source of that infection for dogs that typically maybe not encounter it as often as they would have in the past. So I think it really behooves us as pet owners and certainly as healthcare professionals to keep those pets on those products on a year-round basis throughout the country because heartworms have been diagnosed in all 50 states.
Yeah, and that's important to understand. But then we don't go to the veterinarian, maybe. And this has happened over the course of the past 5-6 years where flea and tick products are available at big box stores pretty much everywhere. It seems like your local supermarket soon will have flea and tick products, right? Never mind the choice that we don't often make right choices about which product for flea and ticks to use. That's a separate subject. But we don't make the right choices very often as consumers without veterinary input.
Yeah.
But you can't get heartworm products, so we don't have heartworm products in our homes as a result.
Yeah. It kind of goes back to Steve. I think the most important things that pet owners can do for their pets is have a physical exam done by a licensed veterinarian. I think offer that consultation and again, that conversation with your veterinarian of what works best as far as for your individual pet, but what really is considered best medicine. And I think that really comes from your licensed healthcare professional. So not only can you get that physical exam, you're going to get those recommendations and products at the local veterinarian.
Which you cannot get at a big box store because of laws, actually. You can't get heartworm preventives over the counter only through veterinarians like you get prescriptions through your doctor. Affordability. So folks say, I can't afford it.
Well, I think, Steve, everyone has financial constraints in their life. You have to make decisions that are appropriate for your family. But if you look at the products that are available, they've always been effective, they've always been trusted. But now that they've been on the market for longer periods of time, we're seeing generic versions of those products come to the market, and it's allowing a greater degree of affordability. Milbogard is a product that we just recently brought to market. The actual molecule, milbomycin oxime, is the second most prescribed heartworm preventative on the market today, but it allows us to have a greater affordability and put more pets on that, and again, remove some of those financial constraints.
And just like it is with human medicines, generics, I presume, for our animals can be just fine.
Yes, absolutely. They're still FDA regulated. They still fall under the same criteria. But again, you need to go to your veterinarian. As we discussed, one of the most important things that you can do for your pet is get that physical examination and have that consultation with your healthcare professional.
It's new and exciting because I'm all about saving money. It's called Milbogard. Dr. McCracken, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Please email me your questions so you can call me. We talk about that, right? 866-554-PETS, toll free. But you can also email steve@stevedale.tv. Every week we take one lucky winner, an email question. Maybe it's a lucky loser. I don't know, because the person's writing me because you have a problem, right? I have a secret for you. Type in my name on Facebook, Steve Dale, under Pages. And you can, and I hope you do, like my fan page. When pets are in the home and there's domestic violence going on, the pets are often abused, oftentimes the first to be abused. We'll talk about that and what Purina's doing about it and others next week.
This is a Ricky Ricardo production.
Be good to your pets, they'll be good to you. We'll talk to you next time.